Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's good to see you. We've been in this narrative lectionary journey through the book of John, and it brings us today to this passage from the end of John 2 to the beginning of John 3. One of the challenges in our relationship status with God that most of us either are facing right now or will be facing is mystery. The passage that we just heard Lydia and Marianne read, thank you for doing so well, that passage is mysterious. I hope that I've studied it all week and I still have much that I'm puzzled about from the passage. The passage is mysterious, and secondly, how many times does Jesus himself leave us scratching our heads wondering, what did he mean? We misunderstand God and God's world and our role in it. It's mysterious. Jesus many times is not the God that we expected. And if we're honest, and I hope we can be, Jesus is not always the God that we want. I hope we can be honest about this because I believe that God wants to grow our faith in these brief moments together today. I have a dream too, that one day the church will be part of bringing reconciliations and justice in ways that look like Jesus. I have a dream that you and I will get to be part of proclaiming release to the captives and recovery of sight for the blind. I have a dream that we will join together in what God is doing in this place, raising up many new disciples. And to do that, we're going to need to know exactly where we are in this story. I remember being so confused about God. God did not line up with my experiences. I was angry at Jesus because he didn't make any sense to me. And for me, it was mostly through prayer and scripture and a mentor. And actually, it was through learning to believe, practicing to believe, choosing to believe, that the mysteries became like cobwebs that I could wipe away. Not entirely. Certainty is not a part of things on this side of things. But my angst and my sadness and my confusion started to leave as I started testing out whether the words of scripture and about God and the world were true. And Jesus has been far better than I ever hoped. I remember where I was standing in our home at the back door. It was a fall day, looking outside. And that morning, my mentor had pressed me to stop living in fear and to go for it with God. And I decided it couldn't get any worse. And it just might get better. And if I could go back and coach my younger self, I would tell myself years ago, do this years before I even knew and had the thought. Do it earlier. I had chosen to be baptized when I was 17 as my parents were going through a divorce. And then I went to college and I was trying to make sense of the world and God, and things were not adding up, because I didn't know God's character or God's purpose. So it was years later when I committed to God again. And in some ways, it was like I was trying the hat on. You know that expression sometimes people do when they're making a decision and they're testing something out? They'll try on the hat. They'll go through their day and their week and their life. Oh, this is what it's going to be like if I wear this particular hat, if I make this particular decision. And so I had tried for years living in confusion, and I knew how frustrating that was, so I tried on the hat. I tried living instead, believing that what Scripture says about God is true. And this can be messy and confusing because, as Richard Foster points out in his Six Streams of Spirituality, there are six biblical ways of understanding who Jesus is, and those ways don't all line up and flesh out well together. And we're all on a long learning curve, I am at least. I didn't understand much about the Bible or about God, and so that was frustrating sometimes too, except that pieces started to fall into place as I wore the hat around, so to speak. I practiced believing so that when I was in a situation where I was being belittled, I could think back and say, well, wait a minute, Scripture says I'm loved, so I'm going to handle this situation a little differently next time. Or when I was in a situation where I was fearful or sad, I'd practice trusting God because Scripture says God is close to the brokenhearted. I started to believe. And one of the things that you learn when you believe God is what Graham Cook talks about, that God has far more that God wants to give us than what we understand. So hear me carefully. I'm not trying to say name it and claim it here. I used to pray so small, but then I learned God doesn't just want to work in a particular situation that I'm concerned about, whether in my life or that of the world. God is after a long story of goodness in our lives, and it connects to our past and our present and our future. So I'll share an example. This fall, someone gave me a card that had this sentence: "May you continue resting in God's loving arms." I didn't really know if I was doing that. It's a nice thought, and I was honored to hear somebody say that or write it. I put the card down, I went about my week, and I went to a meeting with my prayer partner. And I told her about a challenge I was facing, that I was feeling insecure, that I was struggling with my confidence. And she said, well, let's pray about it. And as we were praying, an image came to my mind of a picture of one of our kids and their head poking out of the corner of my dad's strong arms. And when I saw the picture, I knew that meant that was supposed to be me in Jesus' arms. And the words that came to mind for my prayer partner at that time were "rest secure." So imagine my surprise a couple days later when I go back to the card to pick it up and write a thank you card. And it says, "May you continue to rest secure in God's loving arms." Why would God orchestrate that whole scenario with the person and the card and the timing and the prayer, with the image? I believe God does that for us, so that we here know and can be rooted in the fact that God loves each of us dearly, that God cares for us that tenderly and that personally. I believe God uses that story to teach us that God is compassionate, that God is close, that God is available, God is personal and powerful, and wants to do far more in our lives and in the lives of each person on the planet. How do I know? Because these last 3 months since that incident happened, God has used that same image of Jesus, of me in Jesus' arms, in at least 3 separate significant ways on my ongoing journey that have increased my confidence in God. It wasn't just the one situation I was concerned about, my confidence. God wanted to use that in so many other ways. Now, even though I've not directly named the passage yet, I have been preaching its story. We let our confusion and fear about Jesus keep us from experiencing so much of God's goodness. We hide in the dungeon, afraid of the light, when we have nothing to fear. And I use that terminology of dungeon and light tentatively because I know we've twisted in our society so much of this darkness and light imagery. Jesus does the opposite of us. We hide away from Jesus, and Jesus seeks us out. Even though we've caused harm to the planet that we're supposed to care for, Even though we've hurt people that God created and loves. Even though religious leaders continue to have affairs and abuse their power and lead with certainty instead of humility. Verse 25, Jesus did not need any testimony about humans because he knew what was in each person. What I'm trying to say is we are not mysterious to God. God knows us full well and chooses us anyway. That's grace. I know enough about myself to know that's grace. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews, and he misunderstands Jesus. He thinks he is a teacher, which he is, most extraordinary teacher ever. And yet Jesus is far more than a teacher. He misunderstands Jesus, and yet he has the courage to seek him out. In the darkness of the night, he comes to the light. And even though he recognizes God is with Jesus and Jesus is a teacher, three times he defies Jesus' reality, telling Jesus what can and cannot be done, what is and is not possible. Haven't I done the same? Because in my desire to make sense of God and what God is doing in the world, I settle for a cheap imitation. So I want someone to get this today. I invite us to think of a struggle that we have in our lives, either personally or globally, past, present, or future. Think of the first one that bubbles up for you. And I want you to raise your hand. You're not going to need to share it with anybody, but raise your hand once you have this challenge in mind. Nice and high so I can see. Good. You can put your hands down. Now, I don't like math very much, but we're going to practice addition. Imagine placing the challenge on your mind in your hands. You can hold your hands out in front of you if that's helpful. Before we add anything to that image of the challenge that we're holding in our hands, add mystery. There may be mystery about this situation for us. We don't yet understand what God is doing. It's hard to make sense of when there's so much suffering and pain and injustice. Maybe there's confusion about who Jesus is. And so, like Nicodemus, we've got our challenge. We've got mystery that we've added to it. And now we're going to add to it a piece of good news from our passage. You can choose which one you add. I will rattle off many, but there are many more in the passage you could go back to. I dare you to do this with any passage of Scripture. Choose which passage you want to add, and your job is really to put the hat on, to practice believing Jesus. We have radical good news today. Here's some of your examples from the passage. We have radical good news that God is actually good. That God wants to bring us into abundant life right now, reaching right down into our mess and our pity party. That condemnation is the opposite of God's plan. One purpose of Jesus is to rescue us. The passage says, all who believe, not all who have certainty. Belief and certainty are different from each other. We are not called to follow because of what we know. Following is more about who Jesus is than who we are. The passage says, all who believe, not all who have grand experiences with God, not all who have our lives together. Belief is about faith and trust. Holy Spirit is at the door, ready to empower us into new life right now. And many people, you should know, when death is at the door, have wondered, am I good enough? Have I done enough to earn my way in? But that's not the gospel. Some of us are floundering because of a stubbornness from wanting to do it our own way, and I've been there too. Some of us keep handing over the keys to anxiety and letting it drive us into exhaustion instead of asking for the help that we need. Some of us are ready to give up on our dreams for ourselves and this world instead of accepting the mysteries and choosing belief anyway, wearing the hat and discovering that to be a follower of Jesus is far better than chasing after our fears. So how many Sundays will we let go by before we decide? How many hours are we going to waste? Or can we be people who follow Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, resting secure in God's loving arms, into God's dream for the world that is becoming reality, with or without us? For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whosoever, every person that believes in Jesus would get to experience abundant life right now. May God's Spirit pester us to wear the hat and to believe the good news today. Thanks be to God. Amen.